Okay, Tom, welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. Today we have a relatively long Shiur. On Daf Mem Tet Amud Aleph of Masechet Ketubot, Perek Dalad, we are in Mishnah Hay. And the entire piece, which is two Daf, we are going to do in one shot because it really is seamless and kind of hard to divide. Ha'av enocheav mizunot bito. That is the statement of the Mishnah, and that's really the entire ruling of the Mishnah, that a father is not obligated to feed his daughter. Now, we are talking about a daughter who is a ktana or na'ara, because of Bogeret, certainly he's not chayiv to feed her. And the rest of the Mishnah is devoted to explaining a source for this somewhat strange ruling. Zem midrash darash Rabbi Elazar ben Azar lifnei chachamim bekerem biyavne. So this takes place at the beginning of the 2nd century when the chachamim were gathered in Yavne. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah argued this case in front of the chachamim using a drasha. Now the word midrash is strange, because midrash is almost always applied to psukim from Tanakh. And here, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is exegetically learning from the lashon of the Mishnah, which is habanim yirshu vabanot yizonu. What happens when the father dies? The sons inherit and the daughters are fed. And then he says as follows, ma habanim enyam yirshim alachar mitata av, just like the first clause, which is the sons inherit, they only inherit after father dies, afabanot en nizonot alachar mitata vihen. Same way, the girls are only fed after father dies. And indeed, that's true, that after father dies, the daughters are fed from the money of the estate. And the sons inherit. And remember, if the money of the estate, and we'll get to this in more detail in a couple days, if the estate is relatively small, then the daughters are fed and the sons have to go beg. Now, notice, the first five words are really everything that we were concerned with, which is ha'av eino chayav bimzonot bito. Now, bimzonot bito hu deino chayav, the Gemara begins. In other words, it's his daughter that is not chayav. Ha'mzonot bino chayav. The implication is that he is chayav to feed his son. That itself is a little strange, but we'll see that there's three different opinions about this issue, and our Mishnah comports evidently with none of them. Bitol nami chovahu deleika. And by the way, it is also the case that he's not obligated to feed his daughter. Ha mitzvah ika, but there's certainly a positive mitzvah if he does feed his daughter. Now, that means that the equation we've got is that a father is encouraged, and it is a positive thing if he feeds his daughter, but he's not chayav to, but he is chayav to feed his sons. Which authority would be in back of that? Mani matniti. Lord Meir, Lord Yehuda, Lord Yochav ben Bruka. Couldn't be any of the three. Titania. The following brayta that covers all three opinions. Mitzvah lazuna tabanot. It's a mitzvah to feed the daughters, which fits so far. Kavachomer labanim. How much more so? It's a mitzvah to feed the sons. But you see, there's no chayuv. Why? Why is it more to feed the sons? Da'aski b'torah, because they're studying Torah. Divra Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he flips it. Mitzvah lazuna tabanim, it's a mitzvah to feed the sons. V'kal v'chomer labanot, and all the more so to feed the daughters. Why mishum ziluta? Because it's degrading for your daughters to have to go find some other way to get food. Now, that means that both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda say that it is a mitzvah to feed both. Just one is more than the other, and one are more obvious than the other. But neither one of them suggests that there is an actual halachic distinction between them, with just that one is more obvious. And that in no cases there are chovat. Rabbi Yochanan Bruko Omer chovat lazuna tabanot lachar mitat avihen. He says there is an obligation to feed the daughters after the father has died. Avchayavien elu ve'elu einan nizonin. But while the father is alive, none of them, not sons nor daughters, are fed. Which means he says they all agree that everybody's the same when the father's alive. Either there's no obligation at all, Rabbi Yochanan Bruka, or there's a mitzvah. Both Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda agree, and the only question is who seems more obvious in that. However, we've made a clear distinction between sons and daughters. So, mani matnitin, who could be the author of our Mishnah? E Rabbi Meir hamar banim mitzvah. Rabbi Meir wouldn't fit because he said banim is a mitzvah, and al chovah. E Rabbi Yehuda hamar banim nami mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda made it even worse because he said banim are a second mitzvah, the second level mitzvah, and girls are even more. Even feeding the sons is not a mitzvah. So how are we going to answer our Mishnah? In other words, it's any one of them could be the author, as long as we just reread our inference from the Mishnah. Let's start with Rabbi Meir. Hachikamar, how do we read the Mishnah? Ha'av enochayam zinot pito. That's the Mishnah. For what din libino? The same is true about the son. In other words, all they picked was the daughter, but it's true about the son. Which means our inference that it's different is incorrect. And what's the implication? Ha'mitzvah bito ika. Kalachom alabanim. So there is no obligation to feed the daughter, nor the sons. But the implication, there is a mitzvah. It's certainly for the sons, because they're studying. Hayik tani bito, so then the big question comes, so why do you pick bito? Why didn't you say banav or both? Hakamash malan dafilu bito. The chiddush is that even your daughter, chavahu deleika, hamitzvah ika, even your daughter, who is less likely to get the food, it's only that there is no chavah, but there is a mitzvah. That is the way that Reb Meir could be the author of our Mishnah. Ibaitem Reb Yehuda. Now this will be fairly similar. A father is not chayav to feed his daughter, and kalachomer is not chayav to feed his son. Hamitzvah bibno ika, but there is a mitzvah about the son. V'kalachomer labanot, and there is certainly a mitzvah of the daughters, because not to degrade them. V'hadiktani bito, so why did they pick bito? K'mashlan dafilu bito. The point is that even the daughter, who we would think you really have to feed, nonetheless, chovah leika, there is no obligation. V'baitem Rabbi Yochanan Bruka, that's the third possibility. V'achikamar, eino chayav zonot bito v'hua din livno. You're not chayav to feed your daughter, and certainly the same as the son. V'din afil mitzvah nami leika, not only not chayav, but there's no mitzvah at all. V'aydi debanot lachar mitat avien chovah, but why did we pick bito? Because, and this is quite sharp, because after death, there is a chovah to feed the daughters from the estate. So basically what we did, according to the Gemara's attempt to make Rabbi Yochanan Bruk a possible author of a Mishnah, of the statement, says, the reason they picked that is because to set up the parallel construction with the notion that after death he is Chayav. By the way, he is not Chayav. The estate is not Chayav to feed the sons after death. The sons inherit, and then they do whatever they do. They invest, and they take part of it for their money, etc. But if there isn't enough, then they don't get fed. And so therefore, you wouldn't have the parallel. Whereas with the girls, there is a chovah to feed them after the father's death. And parallel to that, there is no chovah to feed them while the father's alive. In other words, for the father to feed them. Good. Now, we have the following series of reports, most of which will stay close to home, but some of them will go a bit afield. And one will go, a very significant one will go far afield, from the famous gathering in Usha that took place in the 2nd century, when the Chachamim gathered in the town near Shfaram, near Beit Sharim, in the Galil, and they instituted various takanot. And let's see the first one. Amar Rabbi Ila, now notice, Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Bar Chanina. So we now have a three-tiered transmission line, and that'll come up later. But Usha itkinu, in the town of Usha, famous synod of Usha, they made the ordinance that a person has to feed his sons and daughters when they're young. Now, question is, does the halacha follow that? Did we accept that takana? Because our Mishnah seems to say not. Toshma ki aviato the kami to Rabbi Yehuda, when people would come to Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, orphaned children who were saying, our father's not feeding us. The animal gives birth and throws the kids on the community. Right? Meaning that what you're doing is not a good thing. Right? The Yarod is a sea monster. Right? And that she feeds, and then everybody else has to feed them, as if to say, you gave birth, and you're making everybody else feed them, but he was not forcing them, which means we do not accept the halacha that you're chayav, but of course, we very strongly encourage, and we, parents who do so, and we very strongly chastise parents who don't do so. When they would come to Rav Chista, kafulei asita vitzibura. Kafule put a grinder over her mouth and let him stand on top of it, and so that everybody should hear and he should be announced that he is worse than, we're going to see it, worse than the ravens. In other words, again, he's publicly shaming him, this father, for not feeding his kids, but he's not obligating him, right? Velikum velema, let him get up and publicly announce, Urva boy bone, vahu gavra lo boy bone, the raven takes care of his children, and this one won't take care of his children. Even a raven takes care of his children. Parenthetically, we say, "Urva bai bane," since when does he? V'aktiv, livnei o'reva sheyikrao. God answers the ravens who cry out. They cry out because their parents aren't feeding them. So, lokash ha'bechivri ha'beuchmi. If they're white ravens or black ravens, right? The black ravens, the ones that go black, so the according to Rashi, the parents love him, and they feed them, but the ones who are white, they don't like, and they send them out, they don't take care of them. In any case, the main point here is that we do not obligate, and we don't seem to have accepted the Takana of Usha, but we certainly do everything possible to encourage, if that's the way to say it, the parents to feed. When they would come before Rava, do you really want your kids to be fed by tzedakah? Again, it's encouragement, but not obligation. Now, all of this is said if the father's not rich. But if he's rich, then we really do force him to feed. Just like the story about Rava, he forced Rav Natan Bar Ami. He took out 400 zuzim from his account and forced him to give it to pay for his kids' food. So that's the first takana of Usha, that you are chayav to feed your kids. And it's a takana that we see was not accepted the halacha, but nonetheless, we did everything possible to encourage it. And of course, if the parents are rich, then it is, they are forced. Second takana. Amar Be'ilah, Amar Shlakish. Now notice, now it's Amar Ila, Amar Shlakish, Rabbi Yehuda Ben-Hanina is not in the picture. So they made a takana that if a man signs all of his property over to his children, that nonetheless, we take from that estate that the children now own to feed the parents, the father, the man who signed it over, and his wife. They challenged and said, "What's the big takana? We have a more innovative ruling, which is almanatoni zon mechasav. After all, when a man dies, we force the orphans to feed the widow. So certainly, we're going to force the kids while the parents are alive to feed their own father." Who vishtomi baya? So the shalich Ravin be igrate, because Ravin sent the famous letter. Mishemet v'niach hamana uvat. If a man dies and he leaves a widow and daughters, hamanatoni zon mechasav, his widow is fed from the estate. And he say tabat if the daughter marries, which means she now has a husband who's going to yerush her. Hamanatoni zon mechasav. Nonetheless, the almana is still fed from the nechasim. Meita habat. What happens if the daughter dies? It happened to me. I was a dayan. She's still fed min chasav. So do we really need to teach that the man himself will be fed? What do we need to takanat usha? The answer is mahatam. No, in the case of an almana, there's nobody to work for her. So of course we're going to feed her from the estate. Here, this guy signed his property over to his kids. Let him get another, start another business up, and work and take care of himself and his wife. So kamash malan that nonetheless we still take from his estate to feed him. Now, and again we ask the same question: do we accept this ruling of takanat usha or no? Toshma, let's see. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Havu Kaimi, they were standing. Atahu Gavra, Gochin, Vanashka, Yonatan, Akare. Sorry, it was Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yonatan were standing there, and a certain man came, and he kissed Rabbi Yonatan's feet. Amalei Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina turned around and said, "My, hi, why is this man adoring you so much?" Amalei Kotev Nechasav Levanavu. This is a guy who wrote all his property over to his son. Vasitino Lizane, and I forced the son to take from that estate to feed him. So this man was very appreciative. So, if you accept the notion that we do not accept takanat usha, then I understand why Rabbi Yonatan had to force this guy. But if it's really the halacha, why do you have to do a special forcing? That's the halacha. All right. So it sounds like these first two takanot were not accepted. In other words, they both reflect ideals in the way people treat each other and in what the Beit Din should encourage. But they were not accepted the halacha, and therefore we would have to force or encourage or cajole to get it done and not just execute the law. Takana number three. Amar Rav Ula, Amar Rav Ila, B'ushayt Kidron. Now notice, this time it's just Rav Ila. Before it was Rav Ila, Rish Lakish, Rav Yudah Ben Chanina. Then it was Rav Ula, quoting Rish Lakish. Now it's Rav Ila himself. B'ushayt Kidron. Hamavazbe is Ayavazbe Jotem Mechomish. If you're going to give it tzedakah, you're not allowed to give more than one-fifth of your estate. Why? Because you may become destitute. There was a guy who wanted to give a lot of his money away, and his friend didn't let him do it. Now, who's who? Who wanted to give and who didn't let him? Umanu, who was the one who wanted to give? Rabbi Yeshevav. Is it either somebody wanted to give it away and Rabbi Shivav didn't let him, or Rabbi Shivav wanted to give it away and Rabbi Kiva didn't let him? And that, by the way, is quite remarkable, considering that Rabbi Kiva was the gabbai of the Anim, and he always had the interest of the Anim at heart. And nonetheless, he said, more than a 50, not allowed to give. Do we have a pasuk that supports this idea? So we do. If you recall, when Yaakov woke up in the morning at Beit El, he made a neder to Hashem, and the end of his neder was, V'chol asher titein li aser asrenu lach. Everything you give me, I will tithe to you. But notice, the wording is, aser asrenu is a double wording. And so the idea is 1/10 plus 1/10, and that's 1/5, and that's the max. Ah, v'halo dami sura batra li sura kama. Think about it. If you take 1/10 of your stuff, and then you take another 1/10 of what's left, that's 9 pieces. Let's say you have $100,000, and you take 1/10, that's $10,000. You got 90 left. Then you take 1/10, that's $9,000. So you haven't given $20,000, you've given $19,000. In other words, you haven't given 1/5, you've given less than 1/5. V'halo dami isura batra l'isura kama. So ashi asura asrenu l'batra ki kama. So the pasuk says asera asrenu, the notion is asrenu, meaning I will give it again, as if to say I will give the same amount the second time that I gave the first time, which by the way means it'll be more than 10%. Shimon Barashi, good. Rav Shimon Barashi was concerned with the ability to memorize these rulings, said these rulings are getting smaller and smaller, meaning there's fewer tradants involved. So how to remember it? V'simanecha tanim katvu ubizbezu. Literally means the young people wrote it and threw it away, or spent it. But the notion is that the first ruling about feeding the tanim had three tradens. The second one was katvu, about writing your nechasim to your children. That had two. And bizbazu, how much you're allowed to give to tzedakah, that only had one. Good. Next takana v'usha. I'm Rav Yitzchak. This is a different tradition now, meaning a different line. V'usha itkino she'adam mitgalgelim v'no ad 12 shana. They made a takana that a person should be patient with his son to let him learn at his own pace until he's 12. Afterwards, you really get aggressive with him. Rav told Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, but sir mi bar shit lo tekabel. You don't take a kid who's less than 6 years old. Bar shit kabel, when he's 6, take him as a student. V'sofile ketorah, stuff him up like an ox. In other words, you give him lots of learning. Now that's 6, not 12. So the answer is in, yes. Safi le ketora, you stuff him like an ox. You stuff learning into him. Miwe nereidim al v'chayav, but you do it in a nice way. Adlach hashtem esrei shana. In other words, you give him lots and lots of learning, lots of study, lots of drill, but it's only when he's 12, if he's not successful in his learning, then you start taking more aggressive measures. V'yibayitem alokasha. It could be that the difference between 12 and 6 is not a difference so much in how you teach, but what you're teaching. Meaning, when the little kid comes in, so you really do take an aggressive attitude with his studying Mikra, but he's not studying Mishnah yet. Later on, you take an attitude that's very strong with Mishnah. The Amar Abaya Amra Li Aim, that my nanny told me, Bar Shit L'Mikra, when you're 6, you learn Mikra. Bar Eser L'Mishnah, when you're 10, you learn Mishnah. Bar Tleisar L'Tanita Me'at Late, when you're 13, you fast 24 hours at Yom Kippur. If it's a girl, about Tresa, when she's 12. Right? Amar Abaye, Amar Aliyim. So parenthetically, while we're on the subject, we're going to see several things that Abaye and others had as traditions about treatment of little kids. It had nothing to do with education. Hai bar shit de tarka le akrava. If there's a 6-year-old one who was bitten by a scorpion, biyoma de mishlam shit, on the day that he's exactly 6 years old, lo chayi. He'll never be able to live. Some sort of a bad sign, clearly there's some superstition involved with this, that he will not live unless he has the proper refuah. Mayasvate, so what's the refuah? What's the healing? What's the therapy? Merarta dade daya chivrata b'shichra. So what do? You take this particular kind of bird, and you take the bile of it, and you mix it in with drink. Nashve v'nashke. And then you rub it on the kid, and then make him drink the beer or the mead, and that's going to do it for him. That's his solution. Haibar shata de tarik le zibura. If a bee stings a 1-year-old kid, B'yomer mishlam shata, on the day that he becomes one, lo chai, without the proper therapy, he won't live. Maya svate, what's the therapy? Atsuta dedikla b'maya. So you take the moss around a palm tree and you stick it in water. V'nashve v'nashke, again, rub it on him and make him drink it. We go back to education. If you take your kid into school before he's 6 years old, now the way we understand this means you'll run after him to try to get him better, and try to give him enough strength, and you'll never catch up. He'll always be weak because you start him too young. So ikadami, there's another version. Chaver v'ratzin acharav v'ein moginoto. His friends will try to catch up with him, and they'll never catch up with him because he'll be so smart. The truth is they're both right. Chalish v'gomer, he'll be weak, but he'll be a real prodigy. Or the possibility, the other two ways of reading it, is that they won't both happen. If he's a weak kid, then he'll suffer. But if he's a strong kid, he'll do very well, and he'll be ahead of his friends. That's the next takana musha, takana number 5. So a woman has nichse molog, that's her property. And if she sells it while her husband is alive, and then she dies, the husband can then go and take that property away because he has an earlier claim on it, could take the property away from the guys who bought it. Which means if you buy property from a woman, you better check what the status is and realize that there's a certain amount of speculation. So he found Rabbi Avahu, the famous Rabbi Avahu of Caesarea, who was standing with all the group in Usha. Amarle man marit ishmaita de usha. Who is it who brings all the words from all the report of what would happen in Usha? Amarle Yosef Bachanina, who remember was in our first takana. So tanami ne arboin zimnin. So Rabbi Avahu went over this 40 times. Adomile command manchale bichiste. He went through all the shmuot about Usha and he had them like they were in his pocket. He kept reviewing them 40 times till he knew them cold. Now, at the end of this piece, we have several psukim that we're going to investigate that have to do with the first takana of Usha, which is the takana of feeding your kids, and the third takana, which is the takana of tzedakah. Ashrei shomrei mishpat osei tzedakah b'chol eit. Pasuk in Tehillim. Happy are those who do mishpat and do tzedakah at every moment. Chefshal sot tzedakah b'chol eit. Can you give tzedakah at every moment? You know what it means? It means when you feed your kids, when they're young, because you're not chayav to, so it's tzedakah, and you're taking care of them all the time. He said, no, it's rather somebody who raises an orphan in his own house and marries him off. So again, he's doing tzedakah at every moment. Tzedakah stands forever. What's that? Rav Huna Rav Chista. That's somebody who learns and then teaches. So whatever he teaches, people carry forever. Right? Somebody who writes a Sefer Torah or Nevi'im and lends them out to other people so that tzedakah he's doing, people are benefiting from all the time because they're reading his books. The books that he scripted. A very famous pasuk at the end of Tehillim Kuf Chavchet, one of the Shirei HaMa'ala. We'll see sons to your sons, that'll be peace for Israel. How does that happen? Shuban Levi, Kiman Shibanim, Levanecha, Shalom Yisrael. Since your sons have sons, the Shalom Israel. Why? The Lawata de Chalitza Yibum. Because once your sons have sons, there will be no problem of Chalitza Yibum. Because if somebody dies, then things go on as normal. And therefore, Shalom Israel. Chalitza Yibum is always an unpleasant thing to deal with. Shomer Achmani Amar Kiman Shibanim Vanecha Shalom al Dayane Yisrael. You know what it means? Once your sons have sons, there's peace for the Dayanim. Because you're not going to have all sorts of relatives coming and claiming when the son dies, I'm the closer carver. I want to get the Yerusha. If he has sons, then it's a very obvious thing where the Yerusha goes. Good. The end of our Mishnah quoted this Midrash of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Lifnei Chachamim. So Yativ Rav Yosef Kameh Rav Hamnuna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Hamnuna. Yativ Rav Hamnuna v'kamar. Rav Hamnuna himself was saying as follows, and picking up on this drasha, Kishem Shein Abanim Yoshim Elamina Karka. Pick on Rav Elazar ben Azariah. What did he say? Just like sons own inherit after death, so girls are only fed after death. So let's take it one step further. Just like sons are only Yoresh Karka, Kach Ein Banot Nizunot Elamina Karka. Girls are only fed from Karka. Abba Shalemil Kuli Alma. Everybody started yelling at him, at Rav Hamnuna. The Shavik Ara Hudiyarti Lebane. It's only somebody who leaves land for his kids. Only they inherit their father. What if a guy didn't have land, but he had lots of money in other places? They don't inherit anything? The Shavik Ara Liyarti Lebane. If he didn't leave land, they don't inherit him. Your whole premise doesn't work. So now Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef turned to Rav Hamnuna. and understood that he meant something else. And he said, "V'dilma ketubat banim dichrin kamamar." Maybe you were referring to ketubat banim dichrin, which we're going to get to in two podcasts, but I'll give a very, very brief intro to it. And that is, there is part of the ketubah is a piece called ketubat banim dichrin, literally the ketubah of the male sons, in which the ketubah stipulates that this particular ketubah will only be divided among the sons that that woman has with the husband, and other sons that he has will not share in this particular ketubah. Now, that only comes from karka. Amar le mar de gavar rabahu. So Rav Hamnuna, the Rebbe, turned to Rav Yosef and said, you're a big man. Yadamai kamina. You knew what I was saying. You knew I wasn't just saying people only inherit karka because that's silly. But rather, you knew that I was referring to ketubah barim dichrin. Shkoyach. Amar b'chia bar Yosef. Rav zan michite dalia. Very strange statement. He said, Rav used to feed from the best of the wheat. Now, if that's what it means, let's see. But chita de aliyah, say, bayaluhu. What does he mean? Parnasa have? Now, parnasa in this context means nedunya. When a man dies and leaves daughters as orphans, they have to be given parnasa so that they will be marriageable. So, what does it mean? Does it mean Rav would say, you have to take care of, feed the daughters of as parnasa, umay aliyah? Why is it called aliyah? Mi'iluya da'av, meaning we estimate the generosity of the father who's not here. Urashmuel de'amar Shmuel, the parnasa shamin ba'av. When it comes to parnasa, meaning how much we give for a dowry, we estimate what the father would have given. Yeah, he's a generous guy, a miserly guy, whatever, and that's how much we give. Is that what Rav meant? Odilma mezoni mamishave. Perhaps it's really mezonot. In other words, perhaps feeding the daughters really is a din of mezonot. Umay aliyah, and that's why is it called aliyah? I mean, dvarim tovim shenemru ba'aliyah. Aliyah here doesn't refer to estimating the father's generosity, but really an attic. Good things that were said in an attic. Demar Yitzchak v'Yosef, ba'aliyah hitkinu, they were in the aliyah, and they made an ordinance. Shiyu banot nizonot mina metaltalin. That you have to feed daughters even mina metaltalin. Meaning, even if the father didn't leave any karka, then we have to take the metaltalin, the non-karka, and use it to feed the daughters. So why would Rav feed? Did he feed them as parnasa, meaning as making them attractive to potential suitors, or as mezonot, an obligation to feed them? In other words, did he feel that if there's no karka, we still do have to feed them as regular mezonot or not? And that's really the issue. So let's see. Biyadei de Rabbi Banei, achua de Rabbi Chia bar Abba, have a metaltalin diatmi. They had some metaltalin of Yatomim. Atu the coming to Shmuel. And the Amarle Zilzun, he said, go and be mezin. Go take these metaltalin and use it to feed the kids. So my love, the mezoni, doesn't that mean mezonot? Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Svirole, and he holds like Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef, who says that you do feed from metaltalin. Lo, hatam lefarnasa have, that was really parnasa. Ushmuel tamed, or Shmuel lefarnasa shamin ba'av. So that's why Shmuel said zilzon, meaning I know that the father would want them to feed and they have this much, that's how much you give them. Haveuvdim in Ahardea. There was a story that happened in Ahardea. Vidon dainid in Ahardea. And the dayanim in Ahardea actually judged to take the metaltalin and to use it to feed the yatomim. Pumbadita, and the case happened in Pumbadita. Va'agvi Rav Chana bar Bizna. Rav Chana bar Bizna made them collect money from the property in order to feed them. Rav Nachman, Zilu Ahadru. Rav Nachman turned around and said, go and take it. V'ilo magvina lechu, you take care of them. V'ilo magvina lechu, lafadnaichu minaichu. If not, I'm going to take your money belts from you and use it to feed them. So they all seem to feel that you do feed from metaltalin to take care of the yitomot. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, sovereign amazing of the Taltali, so they thought to do the same thing. Amar lo Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Melech Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish lo avdu ba uvda. Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish, we're not willing to act on this idea. Atun avdin ba uvda, but you guys are ready to do it. So let's see. Rabbi Lezer sovereign amazing metaltalin. He thought the same thing. He thought that he should take metaltalin and use it to feed the daughters. Rabbi Shimon Yalkim, Rabbi Yodei Ani Bacha Shein Midat Adin Ata Shein Midat Adin Ata Osel Midat Rachmanut. I know that you're doing this as a Rachmanut. I know that you're not doing it because it's really necessary. But the Talmidim might see this and think it's really an halacha that we take metaltalin and use it to feed. right? Which means it seems to not be the halacha. Hahuda atal the kamer of Yosef. Amarlehu havu limitamrei da abudya. So it was a guy that came to Rav Yosef and said, now, how are we going to take care of these girls? So he said, give them from the dates that are sitting on top of that mat. Amarle Abaye, the student, said, Ilu balchov havi. Let's say a balchov came. Ki ay gavna mi havi yoiv lemar. After all, yitomim are not chayav to pay back the debt of their father from metaltalin. So even if a regular balchov came, you would not take these metaltalin and use them to feed, to pay the chov, these dates. So certainly you should not take them to feed to take care of the daughters. What I meant was look over on the mat, and the ones that could fall on the mat, means the ones that are good dates, that's what you feed them with. So Abaye then challenged him and said, listen, these are dates that are about to cut down, so they're considered as if cut down, so therefore they're metaltalin. Dates are metaltalin. The answer is the tzricha l'dikla kamina. I'm talking about the ones that are needed for the tree to be good, and therefore they're considered karka. All right, so Rav Yosef basically said, I agree with you. You can only feed them mikarka. So there's an orphan girl who came to Rava. I'm with Rava. So Rava said the following. Haluli yatom bishvil yatomah. Give the yatom enough money to also feed, he could feed the yatomah for metaltalin. So the student said, you only use karka, bein lemizoni, whether for food, bein leketubah for the ketubah, bein leparnasa for this dowry. Wait a second, let's say the yatom said, I want to have enough money to hire a maid. Wouldn't we give it to him? So kol shekein hachadi katarta, here we've got both. Now, we're giving him money so that he can give the money to his sister, who is also an orphan. Theoretically, she could also take care of him. Good. Tana Rabbanan. Echad nechasim sheish tam achreyut, echad nechasim sheen tam achreyut. Nechasim sheish tam achreyut means karka, and nechasim sheen tam achreyut is chattel, is non-real estate. All of them, motzin l'mazoni shalavanot, we use them to take care of feeding the widow and the daughters. Divrei Rabbi. I'll agree with you about karka. We take it away from the sons to give to the daughters. We'll take it away from whoever is holding it to take care of feeding whoever needs to be fed. Banot mina banot means that we'll take it from the older girls. If there's only girls and the girls have inherited, we'll take it to feed the younger girls. Right? Aval, נחסים שיש, אבל לא לבנים מן הבנות, בנחסים, sorry, בנים מן הבנות, נחסים רובים. This is all true if the estate is significant. אבל לא לבנים מן הבנות, בנחסים מועטים. But we will not take it away from the girls if the estate is small, because of course, remember, if the estate is small, the boys have to beg while the girls are fed. But נחסים שאין להם אחריות, when it comes to מטלטלין, מוצאים לבנים מן הבנים, you take it away from the older sons to give it to the younger sons to feed. ולבנות מן הבנות, same thing with the girls. ולבנים מן הבנות, you don't take it away from the boys to give the girls. In other words, he's ruling that we do not use metaltalin to feed yatomot. Going back to our Mishnah where we started at the very beginning of this podcast, almost over half an hour ago, where we saw that the father is not chayav to feed his daughter while he's alive, and then we talked about the chiyuv afterwards, and we see it only comes min hakarka. All right, and then we have Machlok or Rabbi and Shimon Gamliel about whether we use metaltalin to feed the orphan girls. Even though we have a general rule of psak, that Rebbe against one other colleague, we always rule like Rebbe. Here we follow Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who says you don't use metaltalin to feed. Why? Because Rava, who comes later, made a general ruling, which is that we only use karka and not metaltalin to pay the ketubah, to pay the mezonot, and to do the parnasah, the setting up of the dowry. Tov, Mi'etz Hashem, in the next podcast, which if you are listening relatively live, is going to come in a few minutes, we will do the next Mishnah and the attendant Gemara, where we begin talking about the issue of Tanai Beit Din.